Hello and welcome to Clever Content, a podcast from Content OD, a content agency based in Sheffield. I'm Ian Broom, and on this episode I am joined by Anna Parkin, writer, journalist and director here at Content OD. Also, we have the other side of the Content OD coin, the tail to Anna's heads, Phil Parkin, director, filmmaker and esteemed documentalist.
How did that make you feel, Phil, the tail to Anna's heads?
I'm still fixated on the documentalist. It's amazing. Amazing wordplay.
Put a lot of effort into these intros now.
I like it.
We are going to be talking today about podcasts. It's a podcast about podcasts and podcasting and our experience of doing podcasts.
And unbelievable.
The future of podcasts and other podcast-related items. This is episode 26, which means we've recorded 25 already. That's a quarter of 100, which is not how people do fractions, but that is the case. and so we thought it might be good to do a bit of reflection on what we've learned, especially in the last maybe 3 months where we've been publishing every week, and perhaps that's had an effect on things. So we thought that would be an interesting place to start. We've also got the usual good, bad nonsense at the end. We're going to be looking at a series of short video ads for, well, it's for Optus, which I think is an Australian.
Australia, mate.
Yes.
Can we do accents?
No. You can't.
No.
Please don't.
It's an Australian, watchdog. I think it might be a bit like Ofcom or BT. I should have researched that. I'm not quite sure. I know that they're two different things as well, but it's about 5G, and they're trying to explain 5G to the people of Australia. So we'll have a look at that later. But let's get back to podcasting. So you two hadn't done any podcasting at all, I don't think, when we first started, which is about 18 months ago, maybe slightly more. And Anna, you're more recent to it than
I am. I am. Last few months.
But Phil, what's it like recording podcasts? Just like the practical experience of like having to think of something to say every week. And
well,
how's it been for you?
For me personally, I've really enjoyed the process. I've really enjoyed being part of a show, a part of a podcast show, which has been different to my experience in the past. I've been on radio shows and things like that when we've had documentaries to talk about or been invited in as guests or etc. So I've always felt slightly comfortable doing things like this, but actually kind of planning and coming up with themes and ideas and in part kind of deciding what we want the podcast to do. That's been the big learning curve for me. But also just being experimental and buying kit and developing as we've gone along, that's been the really enjoyable part of the process for me, I think. And obviously talking to different people and you, Ian, as well. Of course.
Absolutely. I was hoping you'd say that first, but you went for us at the end. Anna, you're quite new to this, but how I would say you've settled in beautifully, like an old pro.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, a seasoned professional.
Young pro. Well, I don't know, like, I wasn't around when you'd first decided on the Clever Content idea, but I like it. And from my perspective, it's not live. I've always struggled on radios because it's live, so I freeze. So this is informal. It's more informal and relaxed, and you're not on video, so you're not being recorded. You don't have to be self-conscious what you
audio
look like.
Is your medium then.
So, and you can edit it when I do big loud swallows of my peppermint tea. I just did while Phil was talking. So I'm finding.
You see, now we've got to leave that back in.
I know. I'll try not to swallow so loudly next time. Move on quickly.
I like eating crisps on podcasts.
You're like ruining podcasts for the person editing it. That's what you like doing.
It's biscuits today, though, isn't it?
It is biscuits today. Yeah. Chocolate ones.
But that idea of it being not being live, I think it almost sounds like it's a bit obvious, maybe. But I've interviewed loads of people for podcasts, and you do have to kind of explain that first. And even so, people still get nervous. It's amazing how easily people who are highfalutin people with important jobs and stuff like that, how quickly the nerves come in when you're asked to put some headphones on and sit in front of a microphone. But with that in mind, I do really think that with podcasting, the more you do it, the more comfortable you become. I know, again, that's probably quite obvious, but the more comfortable you are, the better it gets as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's something that we've learned over the 25 episodes is that the more that you relax and just kind of be yourself and not worry too much, which is easy to say, but hard to do. And it's the same, but it does come with practice. And it's the same on video. I always used to say, you know, once you get that camera out, people change. And until they're actually a little bit warmed up, you don't actually get the best out of people. And I think that applies to podcasting. One of your questions is, why did we start podcasting in the first place? Well, part of the motivation for me was to do something new for our agency, for us all to get involved in, but also to learn about the technology involved, to learn about the opportunities for working with clients, for doing our own marketing, for having something that we can own and we can put our time into.
We definitely wanted to kind of learn in public, which I think is another really interesting way of doing it, this idea of show your work. And I actually think it's quite, if I'm permitted to say so, quite a bold thing for an agency or any company really to do, is to kind of openly start a project in public and say, we're learning as we go with this, we haven't done this before, what do you think? And I think we've changed stuff as well as we've gone. I think there's also this idea that once you choose a certain format or certain people even to be on a podcast, that you have to stick with it. And while consistency is dead important, and we've definitely seen an improvement, not in just in the actual show, but also in like listenership since we started publishing consistently every week. But it really helps you develop a kind of a tone, like a voice almost. And that only really comes once you kind of commit something. But doing that in public and being prepared to say, we're figuring this out, what do you think? And then change as we go, I think is quite quite an important thing to have the confidence to do.
Yeah, well, I think that was part of the decision making from the beginning, really. Have no expectations. This was an exercise for us to learn as we went along. And as we've gone on, we have tweaked and changed, and that's been informed by the results, but also by our own personal opinions and feelings, our likes and dislikes. And that's part of the kind of organic process that we've decided to adopt. It might not be right for everybody, but it works for us. And I'm happy that it's out there representing us.
Yeah, me too.
So what kind of podcast do you like to listen to yourselves? Am I right that you two didn't really listen to podcasts much before we started?
Well, a couple of years ago, a colleague sent through the Guilty Feminist podcast while I was laid up in bed with hyperemesis, with pregnancy sickness, and I couldn't do anything else. So it was good to just lay there and listen. And then, well, life and babies and all sorts got in the way. So it's only in the last few months that I've really got into listening to podcasts, and how brilliant it is to be hands-free and not kind of connected to your screen, and you can just do other things and listen. And so that, for me, in the last few months has been a revelation. And so I have been listening regularly on a weekly basis to a handful of podcasts.
Maybe find out what those are in a second. What about you, Phil? Have you gone from being a podcast non-listener to a...
No. So my podcast experience goes back... My first memory of it is actually the Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant podcast.
Ricky Gervais? I don't think I've ever heard anybody call him Gervais before.
Gervais? Yeah. Ricky Gervais?
you say how you want.
He's got a gut. I'm from Yorkshire.
We should probably start calling you Pill.
Per Hill. So I think that was around about 2005, their podcast hit the airwaves, so to speak. I think that was my first real experience of podcasts and podcast listening actively.
And another little fact for you, just quickly, 2007, world record, Ricky Gervais set it.
Really?
Most downloads, 261,670 per episode for the first month. There you go.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it was very popular, wasn't it, at the time? And it kind of lent into my sense of humour, I suppose. So I was naturally with my friendship group brought towards it. And then not really a podcast listener until maybe a couple of years ago when I started listening to Adam Buxton's podcast. And I think that was partly to do with Spotify, because podcasts became visual to me on Spotify. I'd left Apple in terms of the iPhone, so I wasn't using iTunes or anything like that anymore, which I think would have been my normal route into anything like podcasts. So technology-wise, I'd made a bit of a shift. But yeah, Spotify brought me to Adam Buxton's, again, through, I think, comedy and watching him on TV and things like that. It led me there. And since then, I've recently been listening a lot to things like, there's one called The Property Hub, which have done over 300 episodes. And more recently than that, The Joe Rogan Show, which I think has been running for years, maybe 10 years or since 2013, maybe. I'm not 100% sure, but he's done over 1,600 episodes, I think.
And he's top of the charts at the moment as well, I think.
Yeah, his interview list is amazing. There's something for everybody in there. And it's fully engaging. And actually, what I'm doing more now as a kind of lifestyle choice, I'm listening to podcasts in the car, which I never did before.
What was the first podcast you listened to, Ian?
Yeah. I've been listening to podcasts for ages. So it would have been mid to late 2000s, I think I probably started listening to podcasts. I used to listen to the Guardian Weekly Football podcast. That was a regular. And I would listen to... I also listened to Ricky Gervais. He's an interesting... that record is interesting because I think it was one of the first times where someone with a really established audience was choosing podcasting as a way to just distribute kind of what they were already doing. Because that whole thing with him and Stephen Merchant and Carl Pilkington was an XFM radio show for years.
Yeah.
And the bootlegs of all of those old episodes, people were down, hundreds and thousands of people were downloading those. So it was almost like a podcast ready to go with, a big name behind it. And one of the interesting things for me, having followed podcasts for so long, is how the money has come in now. And whereas, and the celebrities. And so you look at the iTunes charts now and it's packed full of celebs. Mm-hmm. And so you basically choose which celebrity you like and then you listen to their podcast.
Yeah.
Do you think advertising's followed the ears rather than the eyes this time?
Yes, and some of that is to do with Serial as well. I don't know if you remember when Serial was launched by the team behind This American Life, which was already a very popular podcast. It was the most popular, I can't say that, can I? popular podcast for years, really. But again, that was, This American Life was effectively a radio show, and still is, I think, a radio show, hour long, brilliant, absolutely brilliant, but very much, a funded project that was just turned into a podcast. So they just, cut the hour, make it a podcast. And so but it's only really recently, it's only the last few years, and particularly since Serial happened and the whole world was listening to this one podcast, that the money has kind of trickled in. And there are now huge companies that got VC funding and all of that kind of thing. That's only a fairly recent phenomenon. But for years, podcasts and some of the best podcasts and the most popular podcasts were done by the likes of you and I, just people with a microphone and some time on their hands and some good content, really, to be honest.
Yeah.
And a lot of the most popular podcasts, and again, this is the kind that I still like to listen to, have been those where it's been two or three people, consistently the same people, every week talking about a specific subject. And much in the same way that blogging used to be, podcasting, I think, is great because you can find your niche. There's always something there for pretty much anyone. And so whilst the charts are still dominated now by all the celebrities and all that kind of thing, if you want to listen to people like you talking about a specific thing, then you can probably find them. And if you can't find them, then you can start your own podcast. Like the barriers to entry are still relatively low.
Yeah.
And part of the reason for that is that it's thankfully a bit like email is very old technology. Like the technology behind podcasting is still just like the humble old RSS feed. So as long as you can hook an RSS feed up, then just publish a podcast using whichever service you want, and then it gets added to the list. And it's almost why whilst there is kind of big money in podcasting now, no one's been able to take over and dominate. And the company that could have done that was Apple, but they just kind of ignored it and let it happen. And in some ways, that kind of helped the podcast industry because people yeah. could just keep uploading their submitting their RSS feeds to Apple, and they didn't start asking for money or creating subscription services and all that kind of thing,
yeah.
which mm-hmm. is where it's starting to go now. With
well, that's a good segue, because I think that's drawn me to want to ask, well, a couple of things. One is, do you agree that clearly podcasting has become a commercial thing then, where it's seen to be attractive to advertisers, to brands marketing themselves, etc.? And secondly, what's the future for podcasting?
I'm not sure, but Spotify, I think, has just overtaken Apple's directory in terms of, I'm not quite sure what the metric is that it's increased, but it's certainly now like a huge deal for Spotify, who of course charge money to use that service. So in that sense, people are already paying for something that they could get elsewhere for free. Things like Luminary have got a bunch of celebrities like Russell Brand, Celeste Barber, the Instagram star. Mm. She's great. Mm-hmm. All of their podcasts, which I think already existed, certainly Russell Brand's did, are now effectively behind a paywall. You have to subscribe okay. to Luminary in order to access those. But people have been making money out of podcasts for ages. And if you can get an audience of, say, 10,000 listeners, something like that, then you can probably start getting people like Squarespace, you've heard them all, Casper mattresses, mm-hmm. yeah. Harry's razors, all that kind of thing, mm-hmm. then you can earn some money through yeah. through doing it. And then, of course, there's also stuff like Patreon, and you could set up your own membership site using something like Memberful. People have been making money out of it either through listener-funded methods like Patreon or advertising, or both, for quite a long time. Mm. But yes, now the idea of sticking a paywall on that content is more common, and obviously the celebrities, I presume, are not necessarily
doing it for free.
And for advertisers, rather than looking out for these fantastic niche shows with thousands of listeners to sponsor, which is what Squarespace and the likes have been doing for years, now which celebrity is starting a podcast, they've probably immediately got 10,000 listeners and more, and so it's much more. There are much more obvious places for a brand to advertise themselves because the audience is there rather than kind of, this is my concern, rather than like hunting out those hobbyists who are actually fantastic, probably producing better content than celebrities. It's just that they don't have the name, at least not first.
So what about the future of podcasting? Well, if you could get the crystal ball out, what do you think we're going to be talking about or seeing or listening to in 5 years' time, 10 years' time?
I think in theory, as long as it stays a thing that just needs an RSS feed, we should be all right. We're not going to change this whole celebrity culture around it. That will remain. But we will still have, hopefully, the ability to just create an MP3 file, put it on an RSS feed using some sort of hosting software, and it retain its kind of roots, almost, not to get all sentimental about it, but you'd hope that would still be the case.
I really hope that it continues that to be accessible to all, to be free, as many as there can be, because I think they're so far reaching, the subject matters, that anybody anywhere can listen to them. And like I say, I hope that it remains that way.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
You two have decided to make another podcast. Are we allowed to talk about that?
Yes, we can talk about that. Yeah,
in the testing phase. I wondered if you've caught the bug.
Yeah.
I think we've
definitely caught the bug, haven't we?
Yeah, for me, I'd wanted to explore the idea a while ago, but writing a blog writing a book was ultimately the aim about it. It's just, so time consuming, whereas being able to talk like this, we can limit it to an hour of our time at work, sit down, set up the equipment and off we go. So that's where all of a sudden this idea is now able to come to fruition. And it was basically that once I'd started working with Phil, once we'd merged businesses a few years ago, it was hard running a business with your other half. And I wondered how lots of other couples, all the other couples that run a business together, did so without killing each other.
Yeah, because we weren't the first, were we? No, we certainly won't be the last.
No. And so the podcast idea is to talk to other couples in business and ask them what they love about working together, the challenges of working together, and where they see their business going together.
I think for me, the opportunity to do some storytelling almost is quite attractive again, because having come from a documentalist background, that's always been something that I've been really passionate about, telling stories. And I think that's why we're ultimately content marketers, you know, and creators of content, because we like to tell stories. And this is an opportunity to actually tell a very personal story for us based on our experiences, and also have something there that's kind of available for our children to listen to in the future.
Indeed. Indeed.
And then they'll be able to look back and go, God, Mummy and Daddy didn't really know what they were doing, did they?
Such losers.
Embarrassing. Yeah.
So, yeah, the idea is In Love, Divorce and Business. That's the working title. And we have started it, and we have a couple of couples lined up for the new year. So we will start interviewing them and getting their stories.
Exciting. Well, we'll be sure to mention it and point towards it when it's released and launched. But good that you've got the book.
Yeah,
definitely. Definitely. I'm looking forward to it. And it's a lot of it as well is putting into practice stuff that we've learned doing this. So hopefully it'll be, it'll hit the ground running.
Yeah. And obviously, if absolutely nobody listens to it, then we will think of another idea.
That's the spirit.
I wanted to ask to get your both of your input on what you think, or what do podcasts offer in terms of content marketing? So anybody who's out there who is a marketer or works for a business that's maybe looking at podcasting as an opportunity, what are those opportunities?
Well, I would say that the two main things are you can, first of all, in theory, show that you're an expert. I don't think we necessarily position ourselves as experts, but we kind of talk about the industry that we work in and show a willingness to learn and some humility, whilst occasionally some expertise. But that idea of being able to talk about your own industry, I think, is one thing. And then the other thing is it's a chance to show your personality. And I think particularly when you if it's a podcast that's created by a company of any kind, then there, you know, your people know that it's from a company, so there is some skepticism. But actually, it's a really good way of giving your company, your brand, a bit of personality to show who you are and what you're interested in, and to, as we've just said, like show that you're willing to learn and to kind of almost fail in public, which I believe is a phrase. Mm. And I think that's quite important. I think that's quite important. I always think it's. I think it can be quite a useful thing, especially if you're like, in real life, like meeting people. Like it happens to me surprisingly regularly where they say, oh, I listened to you on that podcast. And in some ways it's when you're trying to meet new people and network to a degree, then it's weird. It kind of weirdly breaks the ice that they've listened to you talking nonsense a number of times.
Yeah.
I was going to say, we're not saying, although we have said it, everybody should just have a go at making their own podcast. I think from a content marketing perspective, it perhaps is just as important to guest on a podcast that is within your industry or within your area of expertise or interests, or sponsor one.
Yeah, that's true. You could do that. And I think it'd be, it's a classic blogging technique, isn't it? Rather than keep posting wearing your own blog, guesting on other people's introduces you to a new audience.
Because maintaining a weekly podcast, it's time consuming. You have to think the subject, research the subject, record it, edit it, deliver it, market it. So it's not perhaps as easy and quick as we've described. So it does take work, time, and budget.
Yeah.
But there are quicker, easier ways to access podcasts. For example, guesting on ours,
or ask us to produce it for you.
Indeed.
Yeah, that'd take all the egg out of it.
Subtle, Phil, subtle.
Yeah. Thanks. We got there eventually, didn't we?
Shall we move on to this week's good, bad?
Good, bad. Good, bad. Good, bad.
Think of anything better.
What about bad, good?
Bad, good. Bad.
Sorry, Ian.
I honestly thought you were onto something. I know. There's a look in your eyes, and this is it.
I see your face.
Okay, so this advert is a series of video ads, shorts, that are 30 seconds apiece. And it's from Optus. And Optus 5G is going to be rolling out across Australia at some point in the future. So the aim of this campaign...
Optus, by the way, is the second largest telecommunications company in Australia.
Yeah, so not like Ofcom at all.
No,
like just BT.
Sounds a bit like Ofcom.
Yeah.
Begins with an O. So the aim of this campaign is to explain to Australians how 5G works without baffling them with technology or presenting them with a vision of an intangible future. And then this is a quote from the Optus head of marketing, Melissa Hopkins. People don't want something they don't understand. This is the start of an ongoing conversation that we will continue to have with Australia over the coming years as Optus 5G continues to roll out. And so the ad that that caught my attention was extremely simple, kind of a new take on, I don't know if it's new, but it's a kind of a similar take on the kind of thing that we've seen lots of times. On the left-hand side of the shot, so it's a still frame, doesn't move. On the left-hand side are five old women. I think they're described as grannies in the, I don't know if they're described as grannies in just the copy around the video or on the video, can't remember. And then on the right-hand side, there is another old woman who comes in on a mobility scooter extremely slowly, and then she says something like, at least 5G is fast. That's the only dialogue. And I immediately thought, well, it's funny. Visually, it's funny, because when she finally reaches the other side, she hits the table, and, you know, it's a visual gag. But then I thought, but does that fulfill this brief of explaining to Australians how 5G works without baffling them with technology or presenting them with the vision of an intangible future? I thought, kind of, funny ad, great, but does that really explain what this is all about? I then realised that there are three other ads which are very, very different, although I guess you could argue that they're similar in tone and that they're kind of going for the gags. But there are three or four which probably do a bit more of a job of explaining what 5G is, but still not that clear to me. And so I just wondered what you thought of this as an individual campaign, given that that's the brief as described.
Does it explain what's happening and why is it good?
Yeah.
Oh, this is the ultimate good bad.
Well.
Because it's both good bad for me anyway.
Elaborates.
I thought it was funny. That's the good. I didn't really think the message cut through. I didn't think it was clear. But that could be me not being Australian. Maybe I'm missing something because of my heritage.
I don't think so. I don't think there are any sort of cultural references.
But that was bad.
I think the granny one, I think that's really simple.
The granny one.
Because it's not the granny on the mobility scooter that says it is. The one of the grannies sat around the table that says, well, at least 5G is fast. So that's just as clear, simple, quick, funny message.
Yeah.
Then you get, there's a guitar one and the lead guitarist plugs in and blows up. I'm confused about that one. And then there's just a super duper irritating one, which is they're all sat round game show, these geniuses, five geniuses, and they are trying to explain...
Genii?
I don't know.
No.
And they're trying to explain the term latency, what latency is. So it's just irritating. And then the animation one, my first question was, how much budget did they have to create that one? They must have all gone into that one. And then with the animation one, I thought at least they're going for a really broad audience. So you've got grannies, you've got animation, you've got some 70s, 80s rock stars.
Yeah, gamers in the animation one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the gaming one was the only one that did any kind of job of explaining what 5G is, given that that's the brief that they've set themselves. So this is, it's like you say, it's five animated characters from different types of games having a conversation. One of the lines is something like, more people can play can stream different games or something like that.
Yeah,
basically,
at the same time.
Yeah, yeah, more people can stream at the same time. So 5G is faster.
Yes.
So that's like a practical benefit to 5G. It actually explains what it is. And I thought that was quite good. And the ad itself was well produced and quite funny. On the other hand, like the Grannies one was, again, like a visual gag, but at least 5G is fast. But what is 5G? Are we just assuming that people know what 5G
is? This was going to be another bad point from me. Do we need to explain what 5G is? Mm. Surely it's one better than 4G, which we got educated about when we were at 3G.
So let me just climb aboard my high horse just for one second. I think you're right for us. So I know what 4G is. I've been using 4G since 4G was born.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say, and I think it's a great point.
Thanks, Phil. Shall I carry on anyway for everyone else? Yeah. But this is from Optus. Optus, as we've already established, is the equivalent of BT. So let's say this is like it's effectively like a public service message in some ways.
Put this on BT.
In the UK, as we discussed when Chris from Good Things Foundation came on the show a few episodes ago, there are 11 million people in the UK who are in some way digitally excluded, and something like 5G, which doesn't require them, as far as I know, doesn't require them sort of spending a fortune on like home broadband. They could potentially use their own phone. If they've got a mobile phone, if they're fortunate to, then they could potentially use that. Like this to me it's a public service message, in which case it needs to be like, it's really clear. And it's not just for people who know what 4G is and what 3G was. It should be inclusive to the point where people who are currently not able to use any of those things, if for some reason this new technology is going to benefit people and like be literally life-changing, as opposed to like you can stream more games or more people at once, this could be now you can do your banking, or now you can like arrange doctor's appointments or something through this new technology. Don't know whether those things are going to be benefits of 5G, but actual tangible stuff, which is what they say, again, what the brief was to explain to the Australian public. And I just think it sort of fails as a message, as a series of ads in that regard.
I think we're all clearly leaning towards the bad then.
The other thing I want to say, whilst I'm on my high horse, I haven't got off yet. I didn't tell you though.
I can still see you up there.
I know. But why is it? Why whenever we're talking about anything digital or technology related, that the example we always use for people who don't understand technology is always grandmas. It's always grannies.
I'd pull you up slightly on that one, though, because it's one of the grannies saying, well, at least 5G is fast. So it's also showing that the granny is very knowledgeable about 5G.
Okay. For that particular ad, I'll take your point. But in general, we always say, even your grandma could do it. You know, mm. That's like an always way. Even your mum. It's always women. It's always
grandparents.
Ageist and sexist.
I find the point about you're digitally excluded audience, it's hard, because then what, go back to the really clear, is it patronizing to present it in an overtly simple way in terms of words, messaging? I think there's a balance between,
well, these are all decisions that they'll have been making, hopefully, around the table, won't they, about who their target audience is, what the tone's going to be, how they're going to engage with them and achieve the results that client is paying for.
Yeah, I mean, and you're right, it is a balance. It could be that for all of those ads, you could just have like a final screen which says something along the lines of 5G is coming soon to Australia. It's going to do this and this. Optus. Let's do it like that.
Yeah.
Whereas literally the entire ad, as far as I can tell, the only dialogue or any line at all is at least 5G is fast on that particular one.
And perhaps then we're not seeing the wider marketing campaign.
Possibly.
The potentially, you know, is it out of home? Perhaps there's some...
Maybe also we could do good, bad, as in the future, how could we improve or change these campaigns?
Could do. It's not quite as catchy. And I don't think good, bad is very catchy. should we go round, good or bad?
I'm in the middle.
I don't know if Tom likes that.
Does he not?
No.
No, well, okay.
No,
I'm going to go
well.
Against
Sorry.
Both of you and say good.
Okay. Phil?
Given what we've seen...
I don't think Tom allows this. I think it's his silly name.
given the... Judging by these four video adverts, bad.
Okay. Yes, all right. Well, benefit of the doubt, there could be a much wider marketing campaign where all this is clearer, and in specific areas and target audiences, they choose a different message. But as I've not seen that, I'll say bad.
2-1.
And right. let that be the final word.
Yeah. See you, Optus.
All right. Well, that's it. We're all done. If you want to subscribe to this show, we think you should, then you can do that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, as discussed, or whichever app takes your fancy. There are things like Overcast on iOS, Pocket Casts, Castro. There's lots of them about. If you want to get in touch with some information or feedback, you can do that too. Just email info@contentod.co.uk. And if you'd like to go back and listen to all the previous episodes, we publish them on the website too, contentod.co.uk/podcast. And I think that's it. Until next time.
Thanks.
Thanks.